Good morning. Before I start, I just want to, I don't know if anybody's noticed that when I come up here every year, except for when I'm in, you know, character, I dedicate my sermon to somebody. Today, two very special people have come a very long way. I've known him since I was a teenager, so it's been about, well, a long time. When I made a blast on Facebook and they said they were coming, I just couldn't believe it. Janice and Kathy. And it just so happens that Kathy is Judy Jones' cousin. Kathy's dad is Judy's cousin, so they're like, I don't know, first cousins first removed or second cousins or whatever it is. So there's a special tie there. So Kathy not only came up to see me, but she also came to see her cousin. So I would just like to thank them very much for coming. And they've already said how welcomed they have felt here, so thank you all for doing that. And Janice and Kathy, this is for you. Okay. The International Order of the Rainbow for Girls was established in 1922 in McAlester, Oklahoma, by the Reverend W. Mark Sexton. Rainbow is a Masonic nonprofit organization for girls between the ages of 11 and 20 that gives them tools, training, and encouragement to let their individual spirits shine bright. By participating in fun events and activities, traveling to different cities and states, and volunteering for different charities, girls will be equipped with a sense of pride and accomplishment, discover what a productive life has to offer, and make lifelong friends. Some of the more famous Rainbow Girls are U.S. skier Jill Kinmont, former Miss America and actress Lee Merriweather, former U.S. Senator from Maine, Olympia Snow, former U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and actress Marilyn Monroe, who during her Rainbow years was known as Norma Jean Baker. The teachings of Rainbow are based on its colors. Red is love, orange is religion, yellow is nature, green is immortality, blue is fidelity, indigo is patriotism, and violet is service. Rainbow girls are also taught that the pot of gold is not filled with precious jewels, money, or even gold, but with the treasures of life. My rainbow journey began on April 23, 1975, when I was initiated into Rialto Assembly number 149 here in California. A dream come true for me. My sister was in Rainbow, my babysitter was in Rainbow, and my parents were supporters of Rainbow, who were members of advisory boards, Mom on the board of Bloomington Assembly, and Dad on the board at Rialto. Dad also served as Rainbow Dad for many of the girls who were worthy advisors. A Rainbow Dad is a Master Mason who attends all the meetings and activities during the term, lifts the heavy chairs and other paraphernalia that is needed for a meeting, escorts the girls out to the parking lot when they are picked up by their parents, and anything else he and the worthy advisor deem necessary. After years of tagging along on fun trips, helping out at dinners, fundraisers, and service projects, and sitting through numerous installations, I was now officially part of the sisterhood. On that night, I promised to love everybody, belong to a church, go outside and get some fresh air, realize that death is a part of life, to be faithful and trustworthy, to honor my country and flag and always defend them both, and to help somebody every day. On that night, I was also asked to open my Bible to Genesis 9 every night and leave it lying open as a symbol of the thought that I was asking God to watch over me while I was asleep. Here are the verses of that chapter that are precious to a rainbow girl. Verses 8 through 17. And God spake unto Noah and to his two sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast on the earth with you. From all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more to be fled to destroy the earth. And God said, This is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a token of the covenant which I make between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Will you pray with me, please? Dear God, you are so awesome. Thank you for giving us your promise that after the rain, there will be a rainbow. Bless everyone who is here today, and may they each receive what you need through me today and the words that I say. In your name we pray. Amen. In May of 1980, a second dream came true for me when I was installed as a worthy advisor, which is the president of my assembly. I presided over the meetings from the east. My journey to that position began in January 1979 when I was elected to the office of faith. Faith sits in the middle of the room next to the altar where the Holy Bible lies open during the meetings. The station of faith represents an inward acceptance of the Word of God and sits near the altar because it is the most sacred place in the assembly room. There, the Holy Bible, the symbol of white light, lays open, and from the Holy Bible, we derive strength to sustain us through life. Next, I was elected to the Station of Hope, where I sat in the south of the room, representing the sun at noonday, when the sun's rays are the brightest. This reminds a rainbow girl that the light, the bright light, which is the Holy Bible, should always shine on their pathway. Then I was elected to the Station of Charity, where I sat in the north, which in olden times was a place of darkness, but to rainbow girls represents the rainbow on the fringe of the clouds, because even while the sun is shining bright, which is at the Station of Hope, the storms of life will come. But through the storms will come the white light of promise, which is faith, and after the storm comes the victory. The last office before becoming worthy advisor is the office of worthy associate advisor, where I sat in the west. There I reminded everyone that the rainbow, spanning from the north to the south, represents the ancient promise of God to his people that he will never again destroy the world, and that out of every trial, temptation, and tribulation that come our way, there shall come a rainbow of promise and victory. Now I tell you all this because it was my mentors, the Master Masons, the Eastern Star members, and the majority members of Rainbow, some of whom were Phyllis Rottinger, Clara Kessinger, Don and Doris Stevens, Lois Cook, Bernice Dyke, Pat McBride, Dorothy Schaefer, Barbara McDowell, Johnny Vi, and my parents, Ed and Ruth Rend, who taught me three very important truths about Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17. Here's truth number one. In life, you are going to get wet, but it's only water. John 16, verse 33 states, and this is Jesus talking, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." As long as we live in this world, we will experience trouble, trials, and distresses. We will be hit by storms. The winds of trouble will blow through our lives and rock our world. The winds will rattle marriages or threaten finances. They bring sickness, disappointment, or emotional pain. Sometimes we face just a few scattered showers. But when difficult times come, it can seem impossible. That's when we really need to look for the rainbow. But what does rain or water do? It makes things grow. Everything on earth needs water to survive. And think about the rocks that have been crashed by the ocean waves or pounded on by the water in a river. What happens to them? They become smooth. Their rough edges are chipped away, slowly but surely. And the same thing happens to us every time we are torn by a storm. In the Bible, water is used as a metaphor for the troublesome times that human beings go through in life, but is also a metaphor for being cleansed, salvation, and eternal life. A bow is a symbol of death and destruction. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 9, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14, and Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, God is depicted as a warrior with a bow and arrows. To some Bible commentators, the rainbow is seen as a divine weapon being laid aside, never to be picked up again. God hung up his bow and hung it in the sky for all to see, suggesting that the battle or storm is over. The victory has been won. Once again, God shows us what to do. Lay down our bows. And what are our bows that we have? How about envy, hatred, jealousy, false pride, flattery, and deceit, for starters? Anything that can rob us of our joy and happiness. Now, just like the Presbyterian Church, where once you become an elder, you are always an elder, rainbow is similar. Once you're a rainbow girl, you're always a rainbow girl. The obligations I took and the promises I made on that night of my initiation did not end on the night I received my majority card. They are lifelong vows, which became a way of life as I practiced them through my teenage years. Rainbow enhanced my understanding of the Bible and brought me closer to God. I know there will be storms in my life. Sometimes it will be a few sprinkles. Sometimes it will be a monsoon, and sometimes it will be something in between. But through them all, faith will lead me on, hope will always await me, and at the end of all of them will be a beautiful rainbow, and I will be stronger, smarter, and smoother than I was before. Most of my mentors, including my parents, were part of the greatest generation. They had lived through the Great Depression, World War II, and the Korean conflict. They had unfathomable optimism that no matter what happened, an illness, a cancer diagnosis, retirement, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a job, everything would be okay because something greater than themselves was in charge. They didn't mind the rain because it was just a part of life. Truth number two. Rainbow taught me how to be a young lady. When you start marching, it's with your left foot to the downbeat of the music. No, your other left. While you're walking, don't look down at the ground. Keep your head up, look straight ahead, shoulders back, and square your corners. And smile. You're enjoying yourself. Don't swing your arms. Keep them by your side. When you sit in your chair, keep your back straight and no leaning on the back of the chair. Keep your feet flat on the floor, knees together and hands clasped and placed in your lap. Speak slowly and enunciate your words. Use your diaphragm to project your voice. We didn't have microphones. Practice makes proficient, not perfect. If you forget what to say next, look at the prompter and she will give you the next three words. And don't just say the words, mean them. Put some feeling behind the words. These are just some of the instructions I heard several times during my rainbow life. And they are pretty good instructions for when a storm comes into your life. Like the song, "You'll Never Walk Alone," says, when you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. So keep walking through that storm. Keep your head up and your feet flat on the floor. And if you forget what comes next, look to the ultimate prompter for a guidance, God. Truth number three can be summed up in a quote from Maya Angelou. Be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. As a rainbow girl, I promise to be of some service every day. During my rainbow years, this was accomplished by making cancer dressings for cancer patients, making tray favors for Meals on Wheels, assisting with Special Olympics, raising money for various charities, and singing Christmas carols at nursing homes. It could also be completed by simply giving someone a hug, lending an ear to listen, and even telling someone a joke to cheer them up. I still strive to be of service every day, though now it's a little different. Here at church, I help with Vacation Bible School every summer, assist with chapel for the children at Little Shepherd's, and even help make the budget numbers make a little more sense to the elders and their committees. That's kind of hard sometimes, too. Right, Sonia? Yeah. Being of service is one of the reasons I became a Stephen minister. There is no better way to be a rainbow than to walk right next to a person when they are going through a storm. Outside of church, I have been a board director for the Santa Clarita Wildcats football and cheer organization, and even spent 2 years as their cheer director. Can't believe I did that. And now I am a board director for Escape Theater, where I simply started out volunteering to sell concessions for the performances. If it wasn't for Rainbow, I wouldn't be here today speaking to all of you. At a very young age, I was diagnosed with childhood aphasia. I couldn't form words properly, and no one could understand what I was saying. For 3 years, my mom drove me back and forth to the University of Redlands for speech therapy, while I also received it at school. As a result, I was a very shy and quiet little girl. But Rainbow changed all that. In Rainbow, almost every single word that comes from a girl's mouth has to be memorized. Every ceremony has speeches that need to be recited, and there are other speeches and tributes that must be memorized. Well, let me tell you what happened the first time I had to speak in front of my Rainbow sisters. I was the Rainbow banner bearer, and my main duty was to escort this flag from the northwest corner of the room to the southeast corner. But one night during the term, I had to recite a speech about the flag. So there I was, standing next to the flag, giving my tribute, when I mispronounced a word, which is common for people who are afflicted with aphasia. I panicked and couldn't remember what came next. The prompter gave me a couple of words, but nothing was coming into my head. I just sat down and started crying. Totally embarrassed, I just wanted to go home after the meeting, but my Rainbow sisters wouldn't let me. They gave me hugs and encouragement. "Don't worry, it was your first time," they said. "You'll do better next time. Everybody messes up once in a while." And sure enough, the next time was better. And the time after that was even better. And soon I was volunteering to do speeches. And to top it all off, the last time I did a speech as an active Rainbow Girl, I received a standing ovation. You see, with all that stuff I had to memorize and speaking loudly and clearly, I didn't worry about my aphasia. And even though I still have problems pronouncing certain words, it is no big deal anymore. It's not easy being a rainbow in someone else's cloud, especially when it's a member of your own family. Even the partly cloudy days sometimes need a rainbow. And here's what's happening in my family. Wells Fargo, where my husband, Jerry, works, is going through some reorganization, which is affecting his department. Along with not physically feeling well, Jerry is wondering where and how his position fits into the new design. EJ, after completing 2 years of college, has decided to change majors, which we totally support him on. But now the question is, can he still graduate in 2 years, or will it take an extra semester or year? Danielle is a senior in high school, and most of the summer was spent touring colleges in Oregon and Washington. Now comes SAT and ACT tests and trying to figure out what the heck she wants to do with the rest of her life. I still haven't figured out that one. And Katie has started junior high. Some of her friends are going to other schools. She has 6 teachers instead of 1. And she has to make sure she doesn't miss the school bus home for the ride. She has to make sure she doesn't miss the school bus for the ride home. It's an exciting yet stressful time for all of us in the Ng household. Through it all, I tried to be the rainbow in their clouds. But sometimes I say the wrong thing. My patience runs short. I'm not as loving as I should be, and I add clouds to the sky. But I hope my family understands and knows how much I love each and every one of them. In Genesis 9, God makes a promise to himself that he will never again destroy the earth with water. He is reminding himself, but it is also a reminder to all of us that the rain will not destroy us. We need the sun and the rain in our lives to make our colors bright. Rain is what makes the good times better and sweeter. Don't get me wrong, I don't jump for joy when the storms enter my life or the lives of my family. I hate it. I roll my eyes and I scream at God, But then I calm down and realize that it's time for a little growth. I know that with faith walking beside me and hope in my heart, I will get through all of them. And at the end of each and every one of them, there will be that shining rainbow of peace and victory. And that's when I jump for joy, because after the storm comes the victory. Thank you.